Welcome to Advancing Word with Dr. T.D. Stubblefield. In chapter 55 of Isaiah, verse 11, God tells the prophet, "So will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Standing on this promise, T.D. Stubblefield Ministries is committed to sharing biblical principles with individuals, families, churches, communities, and our world, believing that only the Word of God can advance us in God's perfect plan for our lives, where we can experience liberating faith, lasting hope, and unconditional love in a relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Dr. T.D. Stubblefield with today's Advancing Word.
There's a passage, Lord, that's placed on my heart. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. Genesis 19, the first book of the Bible, verses 16 and 17. And I will be reading in the New International Version. Genesis 19, 16 and 17. It says, "When he hesitated, the men grasped his hands and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city. For the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, 'Flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountain or you will be swept away.'" Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Now, I want to lift our thought today from the 17th verse, the words, "Don't look back." That's the subject of our message today. Don't look back. You know, this chapter of the Bible, and I've read it quite often in preparation for this message, it could be easily tagged the good, the bad, and the ugly. It is tragically revealing of the depths that a child of God can plunge and plummet to if he or she is not vigilant about their walk with the Lord. Lot, in this chapter and in this passage, was forcibly removed from the city of Sodom, where he had chosen to live, and he was ordered by God in this text not to look back. It is important for us to face the future, and there is a point where looking back can be destructive. Looking back can be dangerous. Looking back can be detrimental to our forward progress. The noted Negro Baseball Hall of Famer and renowned pitcher Satchel Paige was fond of saying often, "Don't look back, because something might be gaining on you." You know, as I prayed about this message, it occurred to me how God and the Word of God, Psalm 139, tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Word of God reminds us that God has given us by design a kind of forward focus. If you look at it merely physiologically, the way our bodies are framed and formed, it would seem to suggest very strongly that God has designed us for a forward focus. Our eyes look forward, our nose points forward, our feet point forward. When we extend our arms, they reach naturally forward. God has designed us, if you think merely on a physiological level, with a forward focus. I think it's true, too, spiritually, because he's designed us in such a way, the wisdom writer Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, that he has placed eternity in the heart of man. There's something in us that longs for something this world cannot satisfy, that causes us to reach beyond ourselves. It is on that basis C.S. Lewis argued one of the strongest points for the existence of God. If there's a desire that this world cannot fulfill, then it must mean that that desire must be filled in another world. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has just designed us with a forward focus. Lot was given an opportunity in this text to get it right. And while his response in this chapter is less than complimentary or commendable, his action serves as a warning to us of the dangers of looking back and what is required of us if we are to move forward. When I search the text, there are at least four things that it reminds us of that we must do in order to avoid being trapped and trampled by the past. Four things in the text, and Lot did not necessarily meet the requirements for these things, but his negative example provides inspiration for us. First of all, if we want to move forward and don't look back, we have to get up. It's quite simple. Get up. Lot, the Bible says, and this is interesting to me, I wrestle with this. The Bible says that Lot was a righteous man in 2 Peter 2, 7 through 8, but his life was vexed, his soul was vexed by the conversation of the wicked. Lot had become so muddled, so mired, so mingled in the life of Sodom that his life had become increasingly horizontal and horrific. When the angels arrive in the city, they find him sitting at the city gate. His presence at the gate means that he had some position of authority as a judge or magistrate. He was able to transact and finalize business. And so he's moved so far, fallen so far, because when we first see him, he lived in a tent outside of Sodom. Genesis chapter 13 and 12. But now he's taken residence up in the city. Moved into a fine house. And although he claimed to be a righteous man, people could not hear what he was saying, because they were too preoccupied with what he was doing. Do I have a witness here? You know, when I studied the text, it's interesting to me that many of the archaeological excavations of this region, what is reported, what is found, is that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, these ancient ruins, are below sea level. In fact, at many points, if you read the entire biblical narrative, at many points, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities associated with it are described as being in the plains or the lowlands. And what I want you to know today is that Lot was living at a low altitude. Some of you didn't get that. He's living in this text at a low altitude. Lot was living beneath sea level. I'm not talking about just SEA level, but he was living beneath SEE level. He was living beneath sea level. His eyes were dimmed by the bright lights of Sodom. His ears were deafened by the sounds of money. He had affluence, but he had no influence. He needed to get up and to move to a high altitude, but he was unable to do so. Some Christians today are like that. They need to get up. They're living beneath sea level. They're living below sea level. Like the disciples were when Jesus had performed the second miracles of feeding, and then they were worried about bread for the journey. And the Lord says to them, he says, you have eyes, but you see not. You have ears, and you hear not. As I read this passage today, and as I share with you one of the areas that it was apparent that Lot could not get up to was the ability to see the grace of God. He was so immersed in the immediate, he was so tied to the temporal that he could not see the grace of God in his life. Lot seemed to have no real sense or awareness that his good fortune was largely the result of the favor that God has shown Abraham. See, a very important part today of moving forward and not looking back is the ability to see God's grace. Don't ever think it's because of your effort. Don't ever think it's just because of what you and I have done or not done. Some of us are here today because a mother prayed for us. Do we have a witness here? And all of us are here today because God has looked beyond our faults. He's looked beyond our faults and he's seen our needs. In Psalm 124, David is very much aware of the grace of the Lord because he begins the first two stanzas. It's kind of unusual. It's almost like he said it once and then he said, I need to say it again. He says this, and I'm paraphrasing, if it had not been for the Lord on my side. If you read Psalm 124, he says it in the first stanza and he's thinking about it. He comes right back and says, if it had not been. And when my mind looked back over the track of time, I'm telling you today, if it had not been for the Lord on my side. He ends the psalm by saying, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and made earth. And so don't look back. Move forward. And if you want to do that, you got to get up. It's in the second instance. If you want to avoid the dangers of looking back, you have to get out. Not just get up, but you got to get out. For Lot, for him to move forward, radical separation was required. It was difficult for Lot because his ties to Sodom were deep. They were not merely geographical or residential. Over the years, they had become relational. They had become financial. They had become material. He clings to Sodom to the very last moment. And if you read the story, Lot was literally dragged out of Sodom, kicking and screaming, forcibly removed and relocated by the angelic messages. The city had become such a fixture in his life. And even when he was given the opportunity, he wasn't ready to leave. He was so mired in the culture of the city that a separation order had to be issued. When the men of the city surrounded Lot's house in an effort to secure sexual favors from his guests, and Lot was forced to offer his two virgin daughters as consolation prizes, if they would just leave them alone. The angel snapped him in the house, snatched him inside, and told him and his family to get out and don't look back. I'm telling you today, if we're really serious about moving forward and not looking back, there are some situations in life in which we have to serve eviction notices too. I wish I had a witness in here. If we really want to move forward, there are some things we can't go back to. We have to get out. We have to serve some eviction notices. I didn't want to assume at this point that you knew what I was talking about. Some of us need to serve eviction notices to vanity and pride. Some of us need to serve it on an unforgiving spirit. Somebody here need to give self-pity and self-abasement an eviction notice. Somebody need to give jealousy and envy an eviction notice. The spirit of fear, hopelessness, and helplessness an eviction notice. Somebody here today preoccupied, excessively so, with the failures of yesterday. You need to give failure an eviction notice. Somebody here need to give sexual immorality, promiscuity, and impurity an eviction notice. Somebody need to, oh, you are not listening to me. Somebody here today need to give some relationships that are not going nowhere, not doing anything, an eviction notice. Somebody here need to give addictions and attachments an eviction notice. You got to get out. Lot had so trivialized the truth that when it came time for him to get out, and he tried to get others to come with him, even the men who had betrothed his daughters or who were engaged to his daughters did not believe him. They looked at him like a jokester. My brothers and sisters, when we fail to get out, sometimes we put those closest to us at risk. Some of you can't move today because you won't get out. You holding on to something that you need to get rid of. You need to serve it an eviction notice today. Said you dropped me of my joy last year. You kept me from praising God last year. But I'm knocking on your door, and in the name of Jesus, I'm giving you an eviction notice. You're not going to pull me down. You're not going to take me out. I'm tired of feeling bad. I'm tired of feeling alone. I'm tired. Get out of here. I'm tired of you telling me I'm not what I ought to be. Get on up out of here. Get out. Lot had to be dragged out, but he was brought out. So not only does he teach us we need to get up, he lived at too low of an altitude, beneath sea level. Not only must we get out, but as another get in the text, we must get to. In the third instance, if we want to avoid the dangers of looking back, we must get to. The angels informed Lot that he had been instructed to provide asylum and safety for him and his family in the mountains. He was to go immediately there. And the angel said, we can't unleash our weapons of mass destruction until you and your family are safe. But Lot, in typical Lot form, characteristically, even here, he waffles. He pleads with the angels for permission not to go to the mountain. Rather, he said, there's a little city over there. The name of the city is Zoar. Now, what you need to know is that Zoar means small. Some translations has it as small town. Some in the margins say it's insignificant. You see, sometimes God, while it's not his will for us, he will allow us to experience what we want, to teach us a lesson. I'm standing here today to tell you that many of us, we are too quick. Too often we will settle for something less than what God has for us. We live beneath our means. When something else, something exceedingly better, is provided for us, we give up too quickly on our hopes and on our dreams. We give up too quickly on one another. And I have to tell you this, sometimes we give up too quickly on God. You see, sometimes we settle for Zoar when a mountain fortress has been provided to us and for us. Don't you know today, child of God, He has a plan for your life. The Bible says He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My Bible tell me that our best days are not behind us, but our best days are in front of us. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what the Lord hath prepared for those that love Him. And so, my brothers and sisters, if you want to move forward and not look back, I hope you see in the text, you've got to get up. But I also hope you see how you have to get out. And then if you realize that God has a purpose for you, you've got to get to. But I would be remiss if I didn't tell you there's one other get. I saw it early this morning while I was reading the text. You see, if you follow the spiritual principles in this text, or you get out and you get up and you get to, I found out something else will happen in your life. You'll be able to get through. Do I have a witness? What I'm telling you is I'm so glad I've been able to celebrate breakthroughs. I'm looking back over the tracks of time and I'm celebrating get-throughs now. Do I have a witness? Some of y'all celebrating breakthroughs, but I'm here today to celebrate a get-through. Do I have a witness here? I'm celebrating a get-through because when my mind looks back, when my soul looks back, I know how I got over. Do I have a witness here? Is there anybody here? We'll deal with breakthroughs on another Sunday, but is there anybody here can celebrate a get-through? My soul is so happy today.
You have been listening to Advancing Word with Dr. T.D. Stubblefield. We pray that you have been encouraged with what your ears have heard and your hearts have felt. Explore our website at tdstubblefield.org for more information about us and to obtain resources provided by T.D. Stubblefield Ministries. Until next time, be blessed and remember to stop stressing and start stepping, advancing in faith, hope, and love by reading and applying the Word of God so you can stand on certain truth for uncertain times.